Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first song today will be 804.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, with the blood was drawn, I will bow and sing. Just over in the glory land, just a banner to Christ the Lord and King. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, here with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll serve the happy angel man. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel man. Just over in the glory land.
Before the prayer, we'll sing number 533.
Nearer to Thee.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day. For you know that it was you, Heavenly Father, that allowed us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, giving us the opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to partake in this worship service unto you, Heavenly Father, and to strengthen ourselves spiritually as we fellowship with one another, as we sing unto you, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to hear the lesson, as we prepare to take up the communion. So thankfully unto you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity, for giving us life, Heavenly Father. We also pray, Heavenly Father, and we're thankful unto you, for you know it is you that gives us comfort, that comforts us during times of sorrow, during times of difficulty, Heavenly Father. For we know that you are always by our sides, Heavenly Father, you're with us each and every day of our lives through all the good and through all the bad in our lives, Heavenly Father. And we are thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you provide for us. We know that it is you that has given us everything that we've had in this life since the days we were born, Heavenly Father. It is you that provides us with everything that we see before us. And we continue to be thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Can never be thankful enough for all that you have done for us. And we also pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to close out this year of 2020, we know the difficulties we face. This has been a year that we have never experienced before, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful that you have pulled us through it, Heavenly Father. We know that you will comfort those that have been affected by this pandemic, those that have lost loved ones, that you will continue to comfort them and console them at this time, Heavenly Father. And we know that through your grace, Heavenly Father, that this new year, 2021, Heavenly Father, we know that it is you that will pull us through this and guide us into a much more prosperous new year, Heavenly Father. Let's pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that you will be with our brother Norman. We're thankful unto him, Heavenly Father, for taking the time to put together this lesson. We also pray that we will give him our undivided attention, and that we'll take what we learned today and that we'll apply it to our daily lives, Heavenly Father. We pray that you will be with the leaders of this congregation as they continue to tend to the needs of this congregation, to the needs of this building. We're so thankful unto them for putting together all the safety measures, and for all those that do what they need to do, Heavenly Father, to make sure that we are safe as we attend this worship service and that we can return safely to our homes. We also pray that you will be with all those that are mentioned sick this morning, Heavenly Father. That you'll be with our sister White as she continue to recover. That you would be with our sister Marge Williams as she, as in her family, as they deal with this loss. That you will comfort them, that provide the support that they need at this time, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us through the remainder of this day, through the remainder of this week. Continue to keep us safe. We pray that we will avoid any temptations, that we avoid any sin, Heavenly Father. And we pray that we will always continue to think of you, Heavenly Father, and to continue to pray to you. For these things we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before the Lord's Supper, We'll sing number 371. 371.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is prayer, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread, precious feast, all else surpassing. Wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Peace divine, all else surpassing. Precious blood for you and me. While we sup, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Precious feast, all else surpassing. Wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory.
We now come to that portion of our service where we remember, honor, and glorify the great sacrifice made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the taking of the Lord's Supper. Before we have the emblems of that holy feast, we have the bread, which represents the body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. Scripture tells us that he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after the supper. After supper, saying, "This is my covenant in my blood, which is given for you. At this time, let's give thanks for the bread." Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we humbly bow at this time, Father, in remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the great sacrifice he made on that cruel cross at Calvary. Father, we ask that we take of this bread, Father, that we do so that it is in a way that is pleasing unto thee. Father, we also ask that as we do so, Father, that we examine ourselves, O Lord, that in taking of this bread and this cup, that we are proclaiming Jesus Christ's death until he once again returns. Father, we ask that we do so in a way again that's pleasing unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we do pray. Amen.
Thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father, we thank you for the blood that washes over us and makes us clean. We thank you for the love that that blood provided for us so that we can commune with you this day and be able to sup this cup with you. We look forward to the day, Father, that we can have this communion with you in heaven. Father, as we partake of this cup, we ask that we clear our minds and be able to remember back to the cross and all of its cruelty. But we know, Father, that as he arose from the grave, that when he came to new life, he conquered death, that we might be with you one day. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song of invitation tomorrow will be number 794. 794, let us mark that. 794. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 808. Let us stand if we can and sing this song.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound, and every tear be dry. We're marching to Emmanuel's crown. We're marching to Emmanuel's crown, to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
The scripture reading today is taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The sermon is, whatever we give out is what we get back. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And now our brother Skippy Norman.
Good morning. Morning. Truly God once again has given us this opportunity to be able to come to worship him once again in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of the service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day and, Lord, for your blessings, this opportunity once again that you have given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now once again, Lord, as we go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and the things that we deal with each and every day. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We cannot expect our situations to improve until and unless we learn to improve our attitude about giving. Now don't close your ears, because when you talk about giving, you're thinking about money. But I'm here to tell you that giving involves far more than money. Giving is an attitude that allows us to give all that we are, all that we have, all that we possess in the Holy Spirit to provide greater glory for God. Giving originates with God. Giving begins with a realization that from Him and through Him and to Him, all things to Him be the glory forever. That's Romans chapter 11 and verse number 36. In other words, He is the source. He is the means. He is the goal of life. And anything we have, we have only because God gave it to us in the first place. We have air to breathe only because He gave it. We have food to eat and the ground to grow it in only because of God. He gives it to us, and we don't deserve it, but His grace makes it possible. Well, why is that? Because He gave His Son. His Son gave His head to the crown of thorns. He gave His back to the cruel lash. And what are we giving back in return? And so the basic principle that Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38 is that if you want to change what you are getting, then we must begin by giving love, goods, services, resources, time, energy, commitment, teaching, praying, support, and whatever it is that we believe would give God the greatest glory. The Lord assures. He assures us that with the biblical-based promise that whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7. He assures us that whatever, that whosoever soweth bountifully will reap also bountifully. But whosoever soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. And so this principle is called sowing and reaping, but is also known as the law of harvest. Well, what is the law of harvest? Well, there are three simple things. Number one, you will always reap what you sow. That means you won't get beans if you plant peas. If you want God's best blessings, then you got to give God your best. And in just about every prayer, you know we ask God to bless us. But listen, do you know that you yourself determine how much God will bless you? And so Jesus told us in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38 how the Father decides to measure our blessings. That's why He promises in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And so the second thing is that you always reap more than you sow. See, one peanut planted can produce with many roots full of peanuts. One corn seed can produce a stalk with two or three ears having hundreds of grains of corn. One life lived for God can influence hundreds, influence millions to imitate that life. And then the third thing is that you always reap later than you sow. Sowing and reaping doesn't usually happen on the same day. It may take months. It may take years to see your harvest, and you may never see all of the results in this life. But you say, might say, you know, preacher, I've tried giving, and I still haven't caught up on my bills. Well, don't give up, because sowing calls for patience and faith in the principle of the harvest. Let me tell you, it'll work. In Malachi, if you don't believe me, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, God invites you to prove him and see, don't he open up the windows of heaven to pour out you a blessing that you can't even handle. And so, but you got to understand this. Understand this. That all your blessings will not be in the form of money. Y'all hear me? God doesn't give a timetable for those blessings. Well, let me put it in modern terms so you understand. God can enable things to act in your favor. What do you mean? Your car will go 150,000 miles and not 99,000 miles. God can cause your appliances to last longer. He can help you to avoid costly accidents at home. God can bring people in your life whose children are the same size as yours so that they can pass down clothing to you. God can put you in the right place to get the right buys. God can provide you with a better job. God might provide you with an honest serviceman instead of a dishonest one who will cheat you. God will prosper you and bless you if you give to him. And that's why he says, when you look at this text this morning, when you look at this, when we examine Luke 36, 38, there are some principles of giving here. Let's look at it. First of all, there is a command is involved. A command is involved. He starts out by saying, give. Give. It speaks of a command. It is continuous. Generosity is to be a way of life for the child of God. It's ongoing. The world whispers to us, you can give away only what you have and wait until your own need are met, and then you'll be able to reach out to others and really give. Jesus knew that nobody ever reaches the point where all needs and wants are met. But he tells us, give. That's a command that is involved. Number two, there is a compensation involved. It shall be given you. Whatever we give out, that is what we'll receive back. In other words, if we give out love, then love will be returned. But if we sow anger and criticism, then that's exactly what we can expect in return. And here's the really interesting part of this principle. Not only does he says, give, and it shall be given you, but watch, he says, good measures. Whatever we give out, not only will we receive it back, but we will also receive back more besides. See, one seed planted produces thousands more in return. So we have a great God. He's the maker of heaven and earth, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all that we have. And when we give back to God, don't cut corners. Don't cut corners. We give back the apple, and not just the apple core. We give God the best by glorifying God in our worship, by caring for our own people with needs, and by reaching out to our community and to our world. And let me ask you a question, not only as individuals, but as a congregation. Can we be doing more as individuals and as congregation that we are doing? See, listen, you got to understand, this is just not to individuals, but it's also to congregations. You know, we see things that others are doing. They say, oh, they're doing a great job. They coat drives and fan drives and toys for tots and school supplies. Let me tell you something. The Church of Christ ought to be out in front leading the way. We ought to be the example that people can see. The Church of Christ is out involved in the community. It's involved in different things. Am I right? Amen. We ought to be in front. Why? Because God is able to give more than we are able to give out. See, we cannot outgive God. The more we give, the more God gives back to you and I. If you don't believe me, prove him. Try him and see what he can do in your life. God can bless you. God, and he'll see to it that others will give to you. See, there's two ways he compensates us. Number one, compensation in the material. In Psalms 37 and verse 25 and 26, you remember what David said? David said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. In Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So there's compensation in the material, but then also there's compensation in the spiritual. When you look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, beginning there with verse number 44. Notice what the Bible says. He says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. And having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, peace of mind through giving. That's what the Lord gives. He'll give you peace of mind. God loves a cheerful giver. It will be measured back to you in that way. And so we've seen the third thing that we need to see is that there is a company is involved. a company is involved. Well, who is going to give back to us? God. But how is God going to give back to us? From a variety of sources through mankind. What do you mean? The Lord can move the hearts of many other people to help us meet the needs that we face in our daily lives. God can influence in many lives through the Holy Spirit and many times supplies our everyday needs through others. But God expects his children who are blessed to give to others who are in need. And then, I like this one. Because there is a concentration is involved. He says, good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. See, the language is borrowed from the market, where the salesman, grateful for past kindness, endeavors by pressing, shaking, piling up, to put more grain into the measure for us that it will contain. What do you mean? This is used by Jesus to show us that those who give will receive good measures, pressed down so that more can be added, shaken up, to sell the grain so that even more can be added. But it's running over. Oh, that's why David was able to say, my cup runneth over. Because he realized the more you give to God, God can bless you with your cup running over. Because God is the God of the extra. Generous people receive back very generously. But then finally, there is a claim that is involved. He says, for with the same measure that you meet, you use, it shall be measured to you again. How we measure out will determine what kind of measurement of giving will come back. This point out that my behavior towards others will determine God's behavior towards me. Giving is not loss, but it's gain. Someone says that a person may say, I can't afford to give. And if we have an understanding of the grace of God, we can't afford not to give. Someone else says that if you don't give according to your means, God will see that your means are according to your giving. Y'all let that settle down. In Psalms 18, the psalmist says in verse 25 and 26, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. See, these are positive ways. But then he gives us a negative way. He says, with a froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. And that word, it means crooked. All right, in the negative. If somebody's crooked, you're gonna turn around and they're crooked than you, then you're going to be crooked. God said, no. You need to show mercy. You need to be upright. And you need to be pure. Because one of the real measures of the Christian walk is this. It's not what we get. I'm almost through. But rather, what we give. Y'all follow me? It's not what you get, but it's what you give. There's scripture for that. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. He reminds us in the English Standard Version, all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Listen to me. When we choose to give, whether it be materially, forgiveness, mercy, love, God will see to it that it will come back. But it's going to come back even in greater measures. So as I close, give. And it shall be given you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all, it shall be measured to you again. If you're here this morning, maybe you haven't been given, I'm not just talking about money, maybe you haven't been given yourself all to the Lord. Give your all to him and see what he can do in return. God has been good to us this year. Even though we've gone through this pandemic, and even though we have lost loved ones, and even though that there are those who have lost jobs, God is still good. Because he's given you one more day among the living. That's a blessing. God could take us out of this world whenever he see fit. But God has given us another chance to get it right, to make it right with him. If you're not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've heard the word. Believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, then go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Come by that water, your new creature in Christ Jesus. The Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2, verse 47. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. You receive a crown of life. If you're here in a Christian, you've not been living as a Christian should. You know it. And God knows it. And that's the one you're going to have to answer to one day when it's all said and done. If you're subject to the invitation, come right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
No tears in heaven, no sorrow given, all will be glory in heaven.
Let us bow. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, first and foremost, and thanking you so much for another day of life, another opportunity to come and worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth, Father. We just want to thank you so much for loving us so much, God, even though we don't deserve it. Father, we want to thank you just for the service and just being who you are. Lord, at this time, we want to ask that you would continue to bless those who was mentioned on the sick list, Father, and those who are bereaved, Father, and those who wish to be here, Father, but cannot. Father, we ask that you continue to bless this nation, Father, and just keep your arms around us all. Father, as we leave here today, Father, we ask that you will continue to guide us, Father, that we give, and as we walk out of here, that Father, and go through the remainder of this week, that we emulate all that you have purposed us to do, Lord. Father, we ask at this time that you will forgive us of our sins, accept our thanks, and bring us back at the next appointed time. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we do pray. Amen.